11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day here. We're also about 8 minutes away from talking about another bat linked to Kansas City, at least some discussions. And this one makes some more sense, but I still think with where the Royals are at right now, this might be more of an in-season move. We'll explain that in just a bit. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us here on a Friday. I hope everybody's having a nice day. It's going to be a 70-filled week next week, weather-wise, in the 70s, which is going to be incredible for the Big 12 tournament, which is going to set up nicely. Unfortunately for that guy in Utah that didn't like that the Big 12 tournament's not in Las Vegas. He got destroyed. The KC Star even did an article about him. This guy
just got
crushed.
Did you see the weather in Utah today?
No. Well, not in Utah. He wasn't saying Utah was better. He was saying Vegas.
Blizzard.
Yeah.
Blizzard.
He was complaining that Kansas City
he
was going
to
have a blizzard.
He brought that to his own city.
Yeah, he said Kansas City was going to have a blizzard during the Big 12 tournament. We're going to have 70s Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week. If it's quite the opposite. It's going to be the nicest week of the year next week.
It might be warmer here than it is in Las Vegas.
It might be, man. It might be.
I kind of want to look now and just see.
Yeah, I'll let you look that up. I'll let you let us know on that one. But let's talk some Chiefs football for a little bit here, and then we'll get into some baseball. Because while we see the names that are out there, the Chiefs right now don't have much money, if any, locked up at wide receiver. They only have a couple under contract. Sky Moore and Xavier Worthy and Rashee Rice. That's honestly it. So there's not much money in the NFL world tied up to wide receivers. And so, you know, I saw RG3 last night tweet out that the Chiefs should go all in for DK Metcalf. Now, that's a no for me. I think it's a no for you. The question is not all in for DK Metcalf, because I think that's a no. But should they go all in at wide receiver this offseason because they don't have a ton of money committed? I don't think this is the offseason to do it because they have other issues. But a year from now, when Travis Kelce's not on the books, maybe making $19 million, then I think you can talk me into that way, way more. This offseason, I still don't think they need to be in the market of the $30 million a year, $28 to $30 million a year wide receiver. As sexy as, hey, Chris Godwin sounds to be in Kansas City.
$25 million a year for him.
You know?
That's what the most recent report is.
I just wonder if his market just blows up even more than that. I don't think this is the offseason to go, so you know what, we're going to go spend big money on wide receiver.
Almost identical temperatures in Las Vegas versus Kansas City. Do you agree with the sentiment that at some point they should? Because, like, I'm not saying it's definitely not Aaron Rodgers, right? The entire time Aaron Rodgers was there, they didn't even draft a first-round wide receiver. They've already done that in Kansas City, so they've already managed one step further than that. All I'm saying is the current level of resources they've put into wide receiver over the last 3 years are actually in the net negative, I would argue, because they traded away a top-five wide receiver in the NFL. They traded away Tyreek Hill. They've spent a second, and a first on that position. They have spent little to no free agency dollars in that position. Just dudes like Justin Watson or Mecole Hardman or that level of guy, right? They've traded here or there, right? They gave up a fifth for DeAndre Hopkins. But the level of investment in wide receiver to this point has really been pretty low. And I do think I think 1 year, and it depends on which year it is, lines up cap-wise, this year actually makes a lot of sense to me. Because I think if you pair it with Kelce and you're willing to, like, be in a bad cap spot for 1 year, right? Because you will be if you do this. The idea of Worthy, Rice, Godwin, Kelce.
I know it sounds good.
That's all the way in. And I do think at one point, 1 year, Mahomes in his prime should have every conceivable weapon at his disposal at least once during his prime. And so sometime between now and the next 3 years, I think they need to have a year where it's like, we have stacked you so deep at wide receiver, we're about to go nuts with it. The way they did with Tom Brady when they brought in Randy Moss, and they just had that year.
So I think eventually they will get back to that. I would argue a couple years ago when you had Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins and Travis Kelce, that wasn't a bad setup for Patrick Mahomes. But I think if it's not this offseason, next offseason, when you don't have the $19 million tied up to your tight end anymore and you don't have the
But they have no other money tied up at weapons. You know, like, it's with him, they do.
I understand.
But they have, like, $25 million total tied up at wide receiver.
Yeah.
And tight end.
Maybe
like, I mean, they don't have any money together.
I don't want it to be a running back, and maybe they go and spend a ton of money on a running back in free agency. I wouldn't like to do that. I'd rather them do that in the draft. But if they bring an Aaron Jones type, that's not going to be a 1 year, $6 million contract. That's going to be, I'm not saying it's going to be anywhere, you know, it's not going to be $15 million a year, but it's not also not going to be $3 or $4 million a year for an Aaron Jones type. Maybe they say we can go cheaper at a running running back position. I personally don't think this is the offseason to do it. I know, like, no fan is ever going to say no to a talented wide receiver. Like, it's in our nature. It's a fantasy football world we live in and everything. Yeah, like, sure,
weapons are fun.
Chris Godwin sounds fun. Sounds fun in Kansas City. T. Higgins sounds fun. DK Metcalf sounds fun. You know, at least the free agent options I wouldn't be as against because I'm not giving up draft capital on top of it.
And those guys are way further. But, like, you know, like, in my opinion, those are guys who are just further down the list. Yeah. Like the guys who are currently in the trade market who are number one wide receivers at some point in their NFL career. Brandon Ayuk, DK Metcalf, and then what we had previously just mentioned, and Chris Godwin. Like those are three guys who have at one point in their NFL career been a number one option on an NFL team. To pair that up with two rookie wide receivers, you're paying nothing to nothing. And one expensive Travis Kelce, not trying to deny that. That would have a chance to be the single best total weapon group Patrick Mahomes has had. Still not arguing. I don't know that they're ever going to beat the 1-2 punch of Kelce in his prime and Tyreek in his prime. That's probably right. Impossible. I don't know that they're able to recreate that, but they were not. I mean, you know, in those days, the ones I'm talking about with like Tyreek and Travis Kelce, D-Rob was the number two. Okay. Like, I mean, there was a noticeable drop off from 1-2 to 3 in that scenario. And what I'm trying to do is build
Sammy.
It doesn't have to be. Yeah. Sammy. It doesn't have to be a super offense per se, right? Every single year that Patrick Mahomes is the starting quarterback. I'm just wondering if this year's lining up better than originally I was thinking because of the lack of weapons or the lack of money they have tied up in it.
Wouldn't if they let's say they wanted to bring in Brandon Ayuk and they made that trade, wouldn't that stunt or even DK or whoever, wouldn't that stunt the growth potentially for Rashee or Xavier Worthy a little bit just because of we know how good Rashee Rice was going to be, it seemed like last season, yeah. Where if you bring in Brandon Ayuk and he's like, look, man, I'm the number one wide receiver on this team. Like, I need to be getting the most targets, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. Aren't you kind of stunting the potential for Rashee to get even better or Xavier to get even better? Where if you bring in a guy like you mentioned yesterday, Cody, or whatever day it was this week, Darius Slayton, a guy like that is a reliable weapon who you can have as a three, or Hollywood Brown who you can use as a two or use as a three, and they're not going to have any expectations where I'm getting paid all this money, I need to have the most targets, and it becomes not a problem, but the room is not a full room as much as it is. We need to get this guy the ball, and then everybody else will get some.
Everybody just has a different philosophy. On one hand, you would say, hey, I'm not paying my wide receivers any money. Now go pay an expensive one to add to it. I kind of look at it as if, hey, I'm not having to spend much money at wide receiver, and
that's
I have two pretty darn good wide receivers, and I'm still paying a lot of money for my tight end. I'll roll with that at least for another year. The Ayuk example is interesting because on the surface, it's 4 years, $120 million, but the way the contract's structured, it actually doesn't really handcuff you very much. He's going to make 11.1 this year, next year 16, and then if it went bad, he would be 29, and it's a $9 million cap hit because and you would
and
have
that's
to restructure.
The first time you would have to give big money to either Xavier Worthy or Rashee Rice. That actually lines up great.
So the Ayuk contract is misleading. In 2027, when he's 29, the cap hits $42 million. When he's 28, it's 44.
So
the dead cap is 9. He's never getting to the $86 million of the $120 million deal Ayuk signed. He's probably never seeing.
I was trying to look up an example, Drew, where you're like, does it stunt the growth? 2004 Colts had Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, and Brandon Stokely. It didn't stun anybody's growth, right?
Yeah.
Like, everyone was still a 10, 12-year NFL player. Some of them were future Hall of Famers, right? Like,
yeah.
I think you can. Again, I don't think it's something you do every year. Like, the year they had Randy Moss, what was their tight end situation, right? They still had Gronk at that time. Like,
they might have had Aaron Hernandez as well.
And look,
when he was playing, okay, yes. On the field, no, I'm talking right. About on the field, guys.
Here's the other part of it is that you could make the argument, and this is why, like I mentioned Gronk, you could actually make the argument that they've already got three high level investments as targets for Patrick Mahomes right now. Travis Kelce, at not just the money, just he's been a 1,000-yard tight end every single year. He's been in the league essentially, except for the 830 he had this year. He's pretty much a 1,000-yard tight end historically. And then you've invested a first-round pick and a second-round pick, and both those guys look like they're really, 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 really good. So maybe you already have your trio. Maybe you already have your, in this case, Kelce is Stokely for the comparison, and your two guys that are Harrison and Wayne are going to end up being these two. Now, I don't think they're that good yet, but you get the point. Like, maybe they've already began that trio, and I should just think of Kelce as being in the trio. Versus, like, what would it look like if you had four guys?
I think that was a really good example because if you look at the Colts, too, they also had those three guys. They also had Dallas Clark at tight end. So Kelce could be Dallas Clark in this situation, and then you add Ayuk, and then you actually have a quartet of legitimate options. You know, it's along the lines of making the room as good as it can be, essentially, is what you're saying. If it's possible,
just because right now
the money
they're not
makes
paying
sense,
anything.
Why not take advantage of giving Mahomes essentially all the weapons where it doesn't turn into that Aaron Rodgers conversation?
You have all four of those guys for less than T and Jamar Chase are going to get signed. Gold? $70 million a year on them. Now, obviously, their cap hit this year would not be that. And as you pointed out, Ayuk's number's a little better than I thought.
You could get out of it in 2 years and only owe $9 million if it really didn't go well. Because you're never going to let him make $44 million against the cap. So that deal would have to get restructured anyway.
So if you wanted the big name, then Brandon Ayuk is the name that you would want. You would not want DK.
I wasn't planning on talking myself into Ayuk in this conversation, but now all of a sudden it does kind of make sense. Yeah.
I mean, there's part of me that's a little concerned about what Ayuk was last year. Uh-huh. You know, there's a reason why a team's willing to trade a player. What is it? You know, there's same way we talk about free agents. If Ronnie Stanley doesn't sign back with Baltimore, why is Baltimore willing to let him go?
I know, but there's always examples like the Giants let Saquon go, and you know,
sure,
he's great.
Well, obviously that's the example of it backfiring.
That's just the most recent one.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, yes, there are reasons why they let him go and not pay him that amount. Sometimes I'd say it's like a 50-50 proposition. 50% of the time, the team has zero regret about letting them go at all, and the other 50% of the time, they're like, probably wouldn't hurt to pay him. Yeah, and Ayuk only played 7 games and was not very good in those. He's only got the 2,000.
Do we know when he's coming back from the AC? Is he going to be ready to go?
I think so.
For the start of the season?
That's the other part. Let's have a bunch of guys waiting to find out if they're ready September 1st, right? If they did that. I don't think there's no smoke at that.
He tore it in October.
Should be fine then. Yeah. Based on modern healing times, Gold, I think he's good to go.
All right, let's talk a little baseball here. We know that the Royals outfield is going to be a huge topic of conversation. Once the season starts, it has already been. Here in the month of March with spring training, the latest name that's linked to the Royals, Joel Sherman of New York Post, says the Royals tried, and clearly have interest still, maybe, in acquiring Mets outfielder Starling Marte. The reason why he's a little bit interested, this happened back in the wintertime. Now he's 36 years old. That might be like, okay. But two-time All-Star, hit .269, .327, .388. That was a slash line. 7 homers, 16 steals in 94 games last year. Final year of a 4-year, $78 million deal. He's making $19.5 million this year. My guess is this is why the Royals ultimately did not make a trade, Cody. The dollar amount, look what they're giving. It's why the Estevez deal ended up happening. They couldn't go and acquire an outfielder. The Mets reportedly are willing to cover some of the $19.5 million, so you wouldn't have to have all of that. This is still a name I think I'd be watching in June. I'd be watching in July for the Royals to have a target on. The dollar amount would be a little bit lower. And if you're saying, and in the same article from Joel Sherman, it mentions, hey, the Mets wanted bullpen help. Okay, so that's the dilemma. The Royals, we all agree, one of their biggest strengths now actually heading into the season is bullpen. Are you willing to weaken what you think is, I don't want to say guaranteed strength, but a very confident strength, I think, for fans now with the moves they made to go and get an aging bat that badly?
He's like in his mid-30s.
36. Final year of his deal. These are the moves that I'm willing to make in season. I honestly would not have wanted them to bring in a 36-year-old outfielder making, let's even say the Mets ate half of it, and have to give up a bullpen piece. No. This is the type of guy to watch in a crowded outfield in New York with the Mets, that it's middle of the summer, and the plan of MJ being better and Massey playing left, et cetera, that just doesn't work. They just don't have enough pop going, or there's another injury and your bullpen's pretty stable, but that means you can give away one of the pieces. Then I would be willing to trade away, pick your name in the bullpen. It probably Hunter Harvey seems like the logical one, because Urseg, you got way too much control to move on from him.
No. And just signed to a 2-year deal. So you're not going to do it.
So I, or maybe Serp, this is where Angel Serpa comes into play. He might be a trade ship for you.
Or Carlos Hernandez, depending on the level of receiver.
There's a decent chance in the season, if they want to get an outfield bat, because the outfield's not going the way they hoped, that they're going to have to part with a bullpen piece or a prospect, obviously.
One thing they're clearly
But I'm fine with Marte not being on the team right this second, but he will be, like, if we were to make a list of four names to just watch all year, he's going to be on that list of how is he doing in New York? What's his playing time? And if the Royals struggle, we know they were interested this offseason and already had discussions with the Mets on a trade.
He played just 94 games last year, 86 the year before, but some of that is related to play. Some of it is related to injury. He's a career 342 on base guy. So, and he got on base at 327 last year. That's probably second or third on this team. I'll just be honest, without even looking, it's probably second or third on this team.
He's a downgrade defensively, though, at his age, big time.
He is, because of his age.
Worst outfielder in baseball outs above average last season.
Which, again, they seem to be willing to trade off this year in favor of offense. He seems like a nice fit, but I don't want to give him a major league player at all for him, if we're being honest, unless it is a guy who is phasing out of my bullpen. Like, you want Carlos Hernandez? Fine. You want a bullpen guy who's in our minor league system? Cool. We can chat. You want Hunter Harvey? I'm not even sure I'd be willing to part with that.
What about Chris Stratton?
Fine. Yeah, that level, we're talking. That level, like, because those are the guys I think phase out of the bullpen as the guys who are no longer starting for my team start doing that job instead as we're rolling towards playoff time, right? So if they're not the long-term answer, if they're not the top four guys I call in game two of an ALDS, they're on the block. But if they are one of the three or four guys I think make up an incredibly strong or potentially strong bullpen, for Starling Marte, no. Here's how I know that this rumor has got some juice. Because when he was a free agent, the Royals wanted him.
Like, yeah, they liked him.
And speaking to the people inside the organization, they wanted him then. So, like, when he was a free agent, he didn't make too much money, but they were interested in Starling Marte before. So if he is available for trade for a relatively low cost, yeah, I assume the Royals are interested.
We know. I mean, this is the fourth or fifth name, at least, since the offseason began. You know, it's Marte, obviously, Santander.
Adam, what is Adam? I can't remember his name. What is, I know that they were interested in an Adam. God, what could it be? Adam.
Duvall.
That's yeah, it. That's him. The one. That's him. Yeah, they were. And then also, I think, what's his name? Jesse, was it Winker or whatever they were interested in at one point in the offseason? So there's been multiple outfielders. We know they have interest. I think at this point, though, they're just going into the season with what they have, don't you believe? And then we'll see if they struggle 2 months in, a month in. Then let's keep an eye on these same names that we know they had some interest in, other than Santander. He's not going anywhere. But someone like Starling Marte, my worry with him is he might get moved to somebody else before the season because the Mets outfield is so crowded. So another name to keep an eye on, man. Add him to the long list of outfield targets for the Royals midseason trades.
Somebody is already pointing out, because they've got a lot of guys like Weimer, Andrew Waters, and all these other guys. This is like a real frank conversation that exists between AAA and Major League and all these other. They don't believe these guys are major league players. You want to know why? Like, why can't Drew Waters play? Why can't Weimer play? Maybe him. Maybe he'll get some time later. Why? For the longest time, like, why doesn't Jorge Bonifacio play more? The answer is always simple. They don't view those guys as everyday major league players. And for the most part, they're usually right. Because when you get them exposed to the point of they're playing 100 and 110 games, you find out why. You find out why they're starting non-traditional players in their spots versus guys who know how to play those positions. It's just they're not everyday guys. Like, they can come up, they can be organizational depth guys. The Royals thought maybe, hey, we can unlock something with Drew Waters' swing because he's a former first-round pick. But you know, baseball usually tells you whether or not you're able to go.
Trash of the day.
All right, we go to Florida for the trash today. Orlando, to be specific. So this goes back to February 26th. Orlando Police Department responds to Tiffany & Co.
Oh.
The Mall of Millennia.
Did you buy anything for somebody?
Special, I have not.
Special lady friend at Tiffany & Company?
I have not. Have you? Have you bought your wife some from Tiffany? That's a no. That's a no.
Honestly, I was trying to remember. I don't think so. She's gotten like... You know, like a pretty famous bracelet. I think she got that maybe when she graduated college from like her parents, but I don't think I've ever gotten her anything from Tiffany.
So, February 26th, officers respond to Tiffany & Co. According to the affidavit, by the way, they responded on a robbery call.
Okay.
According to the affidavit, a gentleman named Jathan entered the store, asked about some diamond earrings and rings. He told the employee he was representing an Orlando Magic's player of the NBA. He was taken to a private room to see the jewelry because, like, at that point, he's trying to see the high-end stuff, right? Hey, I represent an NBA player. You know, I'm looking for the high-end stuff. The employee told police that this guy then jumped out of his seat, grabbed all the jewelry that they were showing him, tried to open the door, injuring one of the two employees. He fled the store, headed toward the food court. Cameras in the mall parking lot helped police eventually track him down and arrest him. When he was being taken into custody by the highway patrol there in Florida, he swallowed the jewelry.
Oh.
Scans from the county jail confirm, like, they were able to, 48 separate failure to appear warrants were already out for his arrest in Colorado anyway.
48 failure to appear?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My God.
At the jail, he spontaneously asked the staff, am I going to be charged with what's in my stomach? And... what's in his stomach was $1 million worth of jewelry. He swallowed all the jewelry.
So,
nearly $1 million.
I'm sorry. What was the
end game?
Yeah. My big
crap
question here is,
can you crap it out? You're going to have a blockage.
$1 million diamond. Are you sure that it had to get cut out of your guts?
Yeah, and there's probably going to be a blockage there, have some surgery, and then they're going to wonder why you have $1 million worth of diamonds in your bowels. Yeah.
I mean, if you're getting busted for $1 million, why have the discomfort, the bowel discomfort that comes with passing $1 million diamond necklace?
I guess you're thinking,
busted. What? They can't bust you if it's inside your body? I don't think that's how crime works.
I guess he didn't know that he's dumb, right? You're robbing somebody. You're an idiot. But he probably thought that they didn't know that maybe he was just getting arrested for the out of state warrants.
Show what it looks like on the inside? I want to know how big this $1 million diamond necklace looks like from. Is it like, is it like that necklace from the Titanic, or are we just talking like it's Tiffany, so it's just like a regular chain necklace with some diamonds in it? A lot of gold. I wanted to know how garish it was, I guess is the point.
I don't know if you can see. I'll turn my computer around. It's just a small, you can't really tell on the x-ray. It's very, very small, that little.
Okay. I mean, you could probably pass that. I wouldn't recommend it, and I imagine it'd be quite uncomfortable.
How did he swallow the necklace? That's the part. I don't know. That's impressive.
That takes a force of will to convince yourself to do that.
I mean, yeah. What?
I don't know. I don't know. I was trying to decide, is there a crime that's better success rate than this? I'm going to swallow this whole necklace.
He told them he was representing an NBA player, so they're like, we'll go show you the good stuff.
If you're an NBA player, do people go pick out your $1 million diamond jewelry, or do you pick that out yourself?
Asking the wrong guy.
What would you do?
I would still go.
I don't think I want to pick out something that costs $1 million without getting an eye on it,
But they do take
I don't know what the return policy is at Tiffany on $1 million necklace.
But a place like that, they would take you to a separate room because they're showing you high dollar merchandise and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. It says he injured two people in trying to exit the room after. I imagine there's a security level part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, can you just by saying that get shown millions of dollars worth of jewels?
Clearly.
You and I can go to Tiffany and look at $1 million necklace if I say I'm here to represent Vinny Pasquantino.
Well, they obviously don't expect every person to walk in the door trying to rob them. So, yeah.
That's true.
If you walked into a store like that, do you think?
Depends on what you're wearing,
put on a suit for sure.
Well, this guy wasn't wearing a suit.
Cody.
Or a high level. It's got to be at least get some Gucci knockoff something. It better at least look. You better look.
But you'd be surprised, man. There's plenty of wealthy people that are just wearing sweats and you don't even know how. Wearing sweats, whatever, and they're very wealthy or whatever. You just don't know. You don't have to be wearing the most expensive
stuff. Typically, you don't wear the most expensive stuff when you're worth that kind of money.
I don't know if you'd name drop the baseball player. If you just say, I represent an MLB player, they might think, you're representing one of the big guys. Where if you say Vinny Pasquantino, no offense to Vinny, but are you sure that well, what are the chances that said jeweler knows who Vinny Pasquantino is just off a name
you
drop?
You have to say Bobby Witt Jr. in this town. Patrick Mahomes. That's funny. We haven't seen you here when he bought all of his other jewelry. Damn.
He had 48 separate failure to appear warrants out of Colorado.
How do they keep letting him out of jail?
He had a warrant for his arrest. He didn't appear, and then they
ever?
Just
I guess
48 times.
Appeared.
And they just never, he was in Florida. The arrest warrant was in Colorado. I don't think it was a priority in Florida for them to track down the guy with just for what crimes, I don't know. But, yes, he faces robbery and grand theft charges.
Yeah, $1 million. That'll put you in jail for a little while.
Now, do they just professionally clean that necklace? It had to be,
inside someone's guts? Yeah.
And pass through,
Someone's got to, not just professional. This has got to be the deepest of deep cleans of all time.
Is that discounted?
I don't want to, you got to disclose that. If I'm buying $1 million necklace for me, you got to disclose that it went through someone's anus. Oh. I'm sorry. That has to be disclosed. You cannot sell that to me and not have said that. I'm buying $1 million necklace.
It's got to be 25% off. It's got to be 25% off.
800,000. It sure sucks.
25% off. This jewelry may have been used in a robbery and went through someone's rear. Yeah.
Yeah, no way. There's got to be a discount. I'm sorry. There's got to be a discount. There's just no way. Not at that price point,
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what they do in that. Definitely a professional.
You got to disclose that it went through someone's anus. I think it's fair.
I mean, good grief.
I think that's a good life philosophy. Oof. Somebody said poop jewelry, 90% off. Cleaned well. You got to disclose things in your house, If I got a leak in the basement, I got to disclose it. You can't sell me a $1 million necklace without telling me that.
Sure, but nothing's technically wrong with the necklace, right? Technically, nothing's wrong with it.
No, but I just got to know that. You know, I got to know
that. It's got to clean it.
It's a $1 million necklace. I got to know.
You got to clean it, you know? That's the trash of the day. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Justin Reed was on with Fesco and Dusty earlier today. They asked him about what he's looking for in free agency. Does he think he's coming back to Kansas City? You'll hear that next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Be sure to head over to 96.5thefan.com for the Fiery Hot Sevens contest, where you can win a $30 instant scratch ticket, and one person's going to win the grand prize. That's a Bobby Witt Jr. autographed jersey plus framing, all thanks to our friends at the Kansas Lottery. All right, it's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Earlier today, if you caught some of Fesco and Dusty, they had Justin Reed, Chiefs free agent, on the show, talking a little bit about the season, about his future, about his foundation. And his future is what I think everybody wants to hear about, right? Because he's a free agent. We know the track record recently has been, hey, when you're a veteran, when you're a safety, this organization, like Tyrann Mathieu, they're willing to move on from you. Now, he's a year younger than what Tyrann was at that given time, but they've drafted guys that you would think ideally, you would want to
get
replace
some more time. Yep.
Justin Reed, so you don't have to pay him. Justin Reed was asked by Bob and Dusty earlier today what the future holds for Justin Reed.
Yeah, you know, it's about just taking it one day at a time. Like, I had a tweet the other day about being focused on the process and not being focused on results. And I apply that to everything that I do. And right now, the process for me is, you know, continuing to stay healthy, being focused on the moment, playing a bit of golf, being a father. Also just getting, you know, things in order in my personal life, because, you know, when it's football season, that's just 100% the focus, and sometimes you push things off to the side, and off season is an opportunity to catch up on those things. So I don't think too much about free agency itself. That's something that I had a conversation with my agent with, and he knows the situations that I'm looking for and, like, the criteria that I want checked off, and I just let him do his job, and, you know, I just focus on being in the moment where I'm at.
I think a lot of fans have expected him almost not to return. Now, Nate Taylor had the report earlier in the week that he's unlikely to return, and Justin Reed responded in tweet form and was basically like, well, that's news, as if he hasn't heard anything, obviously, yeah, with the new league. Now, they followed up with that question and said, all right, you said you want a situation. You know what you're looking for. What is that situation?
I look for a situation where I can continue to grow. Like, I'm not a guy who ever wants to be comfortable with where he is and not always seek improvement. So I want to be in a situation where I feel like we have a goal that we can chase. I want to be in a situation where I feel like I have a chance to go to the playoffs and still have a chance at winning the Super Bowl ring. I was a part of a team that went 4-12 2 years in a row, and, you know, that just, it was impressive, because being in a team atmosphere where everyone's contributing and everyone wants to win, and then sometimes being on losing teams, not everybody in the locker room, you know, you start to find out who actually cares about football and who doesn't. You know, some guys just clock in and clock out. And that is not a situation that I want to be a part of. I want to be in a situation where everyone's locked in, focused on the goal, being a true team, and, you know, pushing to grow and improve. And, you know, I want to play in a system that allows me to be myself, allows me to communicate, allows me to be physical, allows me to blitz time and sometimes. So, you know, you just look at all those things and you just try and make the best.
He wants to play for a contender, right? That's sum it up. He wants to play for a contender, and that narrows the list down to, you know, a handful of teams, I would say, if we're being honest, probably six teams, I would say, that are contenders. Now,
you could talk yourself into probably 10 if you're just, like, kind of lying to yourself, but sure.
And then, of course, ultimately, right, money, right? You didn't mention that there, but the money has to, I'm sure, be right as well. I think, you know, the thing I would find interesting for the Chiefs is, are they willing to do two things this offseason I would say they've never done? One would be giving a deal that crosses over the age 30 for someone that...
For a safety.
And then also we think they're going to sign Ronnie Stanley, and that's a free agent over the age of 30. Like, that would be asking them to do two things from a contract standpoint and age standpoint that they typically haven't done.
It's an even harder pill to swallow with Justin Reed, because they have drafted a safety who plays minutes for them every single year for the last, like, three consecutive years, including Jaden Hicks, a player you and I would like to see more of in 2025. So, look, I don't think I'd be, like, upset, but I do think that there's a point at safety where that's an easy spot to move, and I'd rather improve corner and pass rush. and I'll figure out safety, especially because safety's position is changing a little bit in the NFL because everyone's playing so deep. You don't even necessarily need this guy who does this coverage in quite the same way as they used to do. It was nice. I mean, he did say in this interview that he's going to live in Kansas City for the rest of his life.
Bro, Kansas City is one of the best places on earth, bro. I didn't know how great this city was prior to coming here, but after being here in a community and just how awesome the city comes out. I mean, everyone has a helping hand. The support is unreal as far as not only Chiefs games, but for my foundation and everywhere in between. Once you get past the cold weather, you get the right clothes for it. I mean, it's an incredible city to be in, and I've been so happy and blessed to be here. And I want to keep the place here forever.
Yeah, you can hear his newborn right next to him as well. He obviously had, I believe they had their first child.
Double duty.
Holding the baby and doing a radio interview. I've done that. That's impressive. The fact that that's all, I believe in the whole interview was only right there that you could actually even hear. So that's impressive. Yeah, if you're from Kansas City, anytime an athlete that's not from here, anybody, whether it's an athlete or not, but especially I would say a celebrity, an athlete, says what he just said about the city, of course, it just adds to the pride you have for your city, because there are countless athletes that have said exactly what Justin Reed has said, that have chosen to, no matter what happens in their career, stay in Kansas City because everybody acknowledges what a place it is to raise a family. And you and I obviously can speak to growing up in this town and everything as well. Just everybody's always surprised when they come here, because they just hear Kansas City, like, okay, you get here, you're like, oh wow, this, you know, Drew Tranquil has spoken quite a bit about this as well, and how much he loves it compared to living in LA, right? So, well, Kansas City's not for everybody, LA's not for everybody, but like from a family perspective and all that, it's an unbelievable place. And so that gives you some hope that like maybe there is a way to work out something, but also, well, he can live here and still sign with another team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just the toughest part about like the NFL part or Major League Baseball part and contracts and stuff, because like, we all like Justin Reed as a person. Like, I like Justin Reed as the dude, right? I hope he gets to continue to play in Kansas City for those reasons, but it's just like, from a football perspective, considering he's going to need a new contract and he'll be one of the higher paid safeties in the league because of that, it's like, there's not a lot of logic to it. Unless he's willing to take a 1-year deal or a 2-year deal that's, you know, like favorable for us in year two, like...
If you're him, why would you sign a 1-year deal?
I know. It just, like, I'm having a hard time coming up with the reasoning or logic that would allow it to go play. They need a corner. Like, they got safeties. They got safeties who can do, you know, like, they've got people and numbers at that position, and that tends to be a position that is easier to draft in those mid to late rounds. And so I'm just having a hard time imagining that it makes sense for Kansas City to keep going that route. And we'll see. I mean, obviously, Nate Taylor was reporting that they don't think there's a good chance they're going to sign Justin Reed, and this is the almost exact, it's like 6 months apart, almost exact same time they walked on Tyrann Mathieu at this age. And so if they're going to sign a free agent safety, I'll be honest, you should probably look for a guy who's like 26 who just got let go by his team. Or I just think they'll go with the young guys they already have in-house. And we'll just see a lot more Jaden Hicks and Brian Cook. And they'll go more that route. I think they're more likely to sign Bolton still than Reed, don't you?
Based off of the comments from Spags in the past, as well, I would think so. It just depends. Is there a team out there that looks at Nick Bolton differently than the Chiefs financially, right? Because we've talked about the range of linebackers. Could it be $11 or $12 million, or there's some guys on the high end that are getting, you know, 16, 17, 18. That's not happening in Kansas City. So if he goes and tests the market, talking about Nick Bolton, and he finds out that the market is more like where the Chiefs are offering, then maybe that's how it gets done.
But if he finds out there's $3 million more a year, he's going to go play for that team.
Sure. And
should.
He's been rumored, you know, people have brought up Cincinnati because of their dirty defensive issues and the money that they might be willing to spend on a player like that. And you know, that sound means another mock draft sounder. We never know when it's going to happen. We don't ever get insight on what the mock draft is. Drew just tells us when a new one gets released.
Who's this one by?
This one is from Arrowhead Addict. So a Chiefs page, of course, a Chiefs favorable mock draft. This one is a full mock draft. So all of the picks that the Chiefs have, we're going to go through 1, 2, both threes, 4 as well. Round 1, pick 31, it is not an offensive lineman.
Thank God. And don't tell me it's a... Wait, what was the one I didn't like yesterday? Was it a safety?
There was a guard and a...
Is it a safety?
No, you...
Wide receiver
you
that...
Like Jalen Noel.
That was compared to Ben Ellington or something.
Bruce Ellington.
You don't even remember his name. That's how unimportant of a comp it was.
His grade was basically a third rounder.
Okay,
but anyway, so the first round, Walter Nolan from Ole Miss, a name that hasn't been mentioned yet Walter in any of the mocks we've looked at. Very, very good.
Walter White or no?
Defensive
Nolan.
End or Walter defensive Nolan, tackle?
Defensive tackle. Mm-hmm. Very good run defender. He was at Ole Miss. Of course, Ole Miss had a fantastic defense. He's been mocked in like anywhere from the 15 to the 22, 23 range. So if he slipped to 31, that'd be a really good spot for the Chiefs to get another guy alongside Chris Jones, one that's got a high potential.
I don't hate that. Defensive tackle. Anybody on the defensive line is okay with me at pick 31. I mean, I don't know if this guy's any good.
There's one thing about him, though. There's been some, it's not a concern, but there's some questions about how much he loves the game.
That's one of my favorite draft ones as well. You know,
damn, he doesn't love the game?
One of those my
Walter
favorite
doesn't, you know, does Chris he, Jones next to him loves the game. He can just kind of like
does
it.
Does he actually love the game? The comp for him on NFL's Lance Erline? John Franklin Myers played with the Jets throughout his
who is
NFL.
Zerline trying to impress with his freaking comps? Every day, just some other
Arrowhead
random
Arrowhead
dude.
Addicts comp is Devontae Wyatt.
Who?
I don't know. That it's a shades of Devontae Wyatt. Okay.
Here's an NFC scout on Wyatt. Walter Nolan. Here's what an NFC scout said. Quote, nobody questions how talented he is and how hard he plays. Super twitched up and really explosive.
Yeah. High upside.
I think Cody, though, he really needs his rush needs to be a more diversified first phase approach. Though,
look at you guys.
I think that's really required.
Devontae Wyatt's a pretty good player right now. He plays for the Packers.
Yeah,
look, he's great.
His ability to bend and rip his way under redirect blocks is really impressive, Cody. So
I mean, this
he can redirect.
He can redirect, man.
I'd be concerned about a guy who can't redirect. That's a good point.
Second round pick from Arrowhead Attic, Cameron Williams, offensive tackle.
63. I don't hate it.
Offensive tackle at Texas. All right. Unteachable size and length, making him a high-level fit for the Chiefs. Interesting.
Future guard.
Shades of Laramie Tunsil. What was the comp from Arrowhead Addict?
Well, now we're talking.
His arms are too short. That's a future guard right there. But, you know what? Pick 63, I'm not going to complain.
6'5", 317 pounds.
Him and Kingsley can duel out to the death to be the starting left
guard.
How
long are the arms again? How long do the arms have to be?
You know what, actually?
Do you remember what the length was?
They've never drafted one below 34.5.
This guy's arms are 34.5.
Never mind. Welcome, Cameron Williams.
He's also got 11 3/8-inch hands. His hands are almost a foot wide, I guess.
Man,
it's nuts.
I mean, they did say unteachable size, and like, you can't teach size, Gold. If you didn't know
that's
that,
right. That's right.
You're either big or you're not.
That's what I hear.
You can't you can't coach me to just be 6'6" tomorrow. Mm-hmm. You are either that size or you're not.
And look, if you're not, there's something for that.
Like what, Drew?
Blue Chew.
Gotcha.
Just out of
turn
curiosity.
Turn O into if, O, yes.
How many more men in America do you think would be in excellent shape if you could work out and like max out a height? Like, let's just say like, if I worked out, I would also get taller. There's a max, right? I'm not going to just become like 8 foot
tall.
So
like if there was a machine at the gym where you just knew if you spent 30 minutes on a day, you could add.
If you were just like a gym rat, you could be 3 inches taller.
Yeah.
How many people do you think are just gym rats now?
Plenty of people would be.
Oh, I think there's a lot more people than you think that would all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Let's go to the third round, shall we? Pick 66, a name that Cody has criticized. Jalen Noel.
Oh, wait, now he's available at pick 66?
Yeah, see, we're fine with him in that round. Just not somebody yesterday had him at 31. That's the problem.
That was Trapasso. Shades of Golden Tate is a comp. I think that's a solid third round.
Yeah, sure.
Third round is fine. Like Golden Tate. No issue with the third round.
What's the second third round pick?
Noel's from KC Mo as well. I'm still convinced that's correct. Why people keep putting him in there. He's out of Barkill.
Edge rusher Jared Ivey at pick 95, their actual third round pick from Ole Miss as well. So you bring in Nolan, you're bringing in Ivey as well. Two guys that played well together at Ole Miss. His comp is Denico Autry from Arrowhead Addict.
Okay. Last guy? Who's the last third round guy?
That was the last third round guy. We're going to round four. The guy that had the best edit from the combine... RJ Harvey, running back from UCF.
He's fast. That's what Gold cares about.
He was asked what his mindset is when he gets the ball. He said, I want to score every single time I touch the ball. I'm going to the end zone.
Well, I'm he's sold now, you know? Now that he said that, I'm sold.
Welcome to the team, RJ Harvey.
I will show you the edit if you guys haven't seen it already. There's an edit that UCF made from the combine, and it meshes into one of his scores for a touchdown. Actually, it's a pretty sick edit. But RJ Harvey, very good running back. 5'8", 209 pounds.
Comp is Devin Achan, according to one site.
You that know, I like that.
Arrowhead Addict said Justice Hill, another quicker guy, smaller, faster, running back. Then seventh round pick, linebacker Cody Lindenberg from Minnesota. Not necessarily a throwaway, but linebacker depth, they had that in round seven. So
here's my favorite thing about RJ Harvey.
Arrowhead Addict.
Drew, they list strengths. Here it is. Mm. Big play threat on every touch.
Yeah.
Capable of taking to the house from anywhere on the field with breakaway speed. I mean, music to my ears.
Also,
music to my ears.
That's almost the exact style of running back.
Also,
you want.
In regards to the way Gus Malzahn runs his offense, over 60 catches in each or in his three seasons as a starter. So he's been very productive in the passing game, something obviously that can make him more dynamic in the backfield for Andy Reid. Back-to-back seasons over 1,600 yards. Total.
Okay,
yards.
So a fourth-round running back. I mean, this is filling a lot of the needs. I actually don't hate this from whoever did this at Arrowhead Addict. I kind of agree
Someone
with your
approach. Someone said that Arrowhead Addict, the Chief Saholic, used to write for Arrowhead Addict.
Price Carter did this mock draft.
I don't know. I'm not sure
does
if
that make
did.
Them more or less reputable. They got rid of him. I'm not sure. For them now.
Someone said earlier that...
honestly, somebody would probably do a lot of page
lead writer
clicks.
Is currently on leave. Will return eventually.
Can I just say that...
Is that actually what it says?
If you run any
That's
of these...
That's what the text line says.
If you run any of these sites, you run FanSided, SB Nation, you run any of these sites, you would do numbers to pay Chiefsaholic to do a weekly opinion piece
from jail?
On the Chiefs.
From jail?
Yeah. Dude, tell me.
He doesn't have access to anything.
Tell me. You have access. Dude.
He listens to this show,
Drew. It's not Siberia. They have TVs and access to the internet.
Like in the documentary, it mentions he listened to Mitch Holthus call Chiefs games from jail.
Yeah, I mean, they got access to stuff. They get iPad availability, depending on which part of prison he's in.
And,
but like,
and he's streaming the show on YouTube right now, you know?
In he's fairness, helping us get the ratings. He's got a meter.
Oh, my.
That's the real reason we're shooting up the ratings.
We do really well with the prison population on this show.
They love our show.
Yeah.
Talking about hiding jewels body cavities. You know,
a lot of listeners out of Florida for some reason. I don't know why.
Who knew? Mm.
A lot of Florida men.
All I'm doing is pitching an idea in which I believe it would get quite a bit of traction. That's all. Mm-hmm. I believe a lot of people would make it weekly clicking.
Would you read it after like the first one or two, though?
The first like, one or two, what? I'm in she, immediately.
Honestly, we'll have to talk off air about this one. We should have a Chiefsaholic mock draft, actually. Air quotes, Chiefsaholics mock draft.
We have Drew call into the prison. Mm-hmm. See if we can get him on the phone.
Yep.
And get a Chiefsaholic mock. Yeah.
Hang on.
I'm in.
I will say, hang on a second. I'm not going to say you adore that man, but you have followed. You guys have followed this man more than anybody
else. The story's interesting.
Why would you have me call him? This is an opportunity for you to actually meet a hero of yours. It's
not a hero.
What it seems like.
He's not our hero. Wow. We just followed the story with a level of intensity I believe people in Kansas City should have.
I think
all.
You should take advantage of that opportunity rather than having me do it.
His attorney was unbelievable in the documentary.
I would gladly do it, but I feel like this is a missed opportunity for you to talk to an individual that has been a popular topic on the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got a lot of time to work on his mock drafts.
That sounds like Drew's afraid to talk to him.
No. No, I'm not. No.
This is what this sounds like.
Text line
I am not afraid to
watch
talk
from
to
prison
him.
Every Friday from the 816. Thank you. We appreciate it.
I'm not afraid to talk to him. I'm just saying, for all the time that you've invested in this show talking about Chiefsaholic, I feel like...
That's fair. We should have a conversation with a man.
One of you guys should have a conversation. You've talked about going to jail to sit down with him, Cody.
I mean, he's a big fan.
I thought jailhouse interviews.
He's a big fan of Aaron Ladd. We learned that from the Amazon doc.
A former regular on the show before.
He thinks Aaron Ladd is, quote, effing hilarious. That's in the doc.
I forgot about that.
That's in the documentary.
Very interested in the mock, so we'll keep an eye out on that. Very, very, very interested. Out of all of this, I guess RJ Harvey is the guy now that I'm going to try to like look more into. Maybe this is the guy I want.
Yeah. So we know when the NFL season wrapped up towards the end, you took issue with the Red Zone channel having a commercial. Then they didn't do it after that. They got heat and then they stopped.
Coming up.
Yeah.
Commercial free football. That's what they used to say, man.
Right.
They're lying to me now.
So Red Zone channel is still incredible. But the reports are that maybe Scott Hansen is not going to be part of Red Zone anymore, which I'm very bummed out if that's the case. He might be moving over to NBC.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Might be
contract
getting, might be getting a new deal over at NBC. So good for Scott Hansen if that's what's best for him. But the latest is that with Around the Horn ending after 23 years, the host, of course, is Tony Reale. One outlet is speculating that perhaps Tony Reale could be the next host of NFL Red Zone. In an interview with Sports Illustrated, Reale seemed to be angling for one job in particular, host of NFL Red Zone. This would be a great replacement. If I have to lose Scott Hansen from NFL
Tony
Red Zone,
Reale?
Put in Tony Reale to the Red Zone channel. I think that would work. I think it'd be a great fit.
I really like it. Tony Reale is, in fairness, great at getting great jobs. Because working on PTI at the height of PTI, that's pretty nice. Working it around the horn as the main host after Kilbourn left, right?
I think that's right.
And doing it for the number of years he did it for, incredible. And then you just do that, and your career, your midlife crisis career switch is the host of Red Zone. You work one day a week. You pop on a couple of other NFL shows. You just make sure you don't drink any water. And then you tell people when touchdowns are coming. That seems like the sweetest gig on the planet. Like, they'd take that job today if they offered it to you.
The main test in the interview process is, can you have bladder control for 8 hours of commercial-free football, you know?
Well, now they got commercials. Now you're allowed to, you know.
7 hours.
Maybe now you can go to the bathroom because they have commercials, you know?
But they did that for 1 week, and they said, nope. And it wasn't a full commercial, you know? It was like the box or whatever.
It was a side-by-side.
Yeah, Reale would be a good fit if we're going to lose Scott Hansen. Red Zone Channel is my favorite thing. I'll be bummed not to hear Hansen on if that's actually where this thing is trending, but... That's still my favorite. When the Chiefs are not on, just give me a little noon Red Zone channel heaven.
I still find it sometimes as like sensory overload. Not all the time, but there's times I'm like, it's just too much. Like, it's just so much information to take in and too many sounds all at once berating you. But like, I just think, it seems like a kind of near perfect fit. And if I'm Tony Reale, it's like, you're young enough. He got in this industry young enough. I mean, he's still got like 20 years left of working life, at least, probably, even though he's made, I'm sure, tons of money working it around the horn.
He's 46.
Yeah, he's got 20 years, probably. 15 years left of doing media stuff, 15 years of Red Zone, and then retire. If you get that job and do a good job, barring a contract dispute, which is reportedly what's going on with Hansen, right, is that he wants more money and they're hesitant to give him a little bit more.
Such is life, right? Barring, like, it's the normal media negotiation stuff, right?
Pretty standard, I'd say. But like, when you're going through those things, you go through that. People are mentioning Siciliano since he used to do
other stuff now. I still thought Hansen was better than Siciliano, but if you told me that was a DirecTV version one. If you told me Siciliano somehow got out of whatever new gig he's doing and went back, I already know that works because he's done it. That's fine too. One of those two guys make a ton of sense. Third party, You said it though, like there's still a basic, like you can have a personality, but I also don't want you making Red Zone Channel about you. You know what I mean? Like if you're the host.
No, but
right?
That's also what Tony Reale's entire show was.
Oh, I know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, hosting
that's why
a
these
show
guys
that was
would
not
be good.
About him.
That's why these guys would be good. I don't want them bringing in
me.
You know, I'll just use I don't want Charles Barkley doing NFL Red Zone Channel, okay? Yeah, that's great for inside the NBA and what Charles Barkley, it would be hard to watch the games. It would be distracting because he's a huge personality. That's not what you need for Red Zone Channel. That's all.
I got people over in the text line offering you a burger tonight, Colton. Someone says they work at the kitchen across the street from where we'll be tonight at Kelly's. Says if you need a burger, to let him know.
Oh, he's over at a beer kitchen.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, we'll be at Kelly's this evening at 6:30. We've got a bar tab until the bar tab is gone.
Yeah, $1,100. Technically $1,096.
Listeners of the show, we appreciate
it. We're
going
to just round up, at least on that end. Yep, for you guys, for making us the number one rated show, which we obviously very, very, very much appreciate. We have no idea how many of you to expect or who to expect, but
only five of you, so that's plenty.
We're about
to
have
you know?
A blast if it's only like 10 of us. We're about to have a blast. I'm not even sure we're technically, I don't even think we're physically capable of hitting that tab number.
With eight people?
No. Went up at the casino, I mean, putting the rest on black.
Sean Barber was suggesting some very high-end alcohol to get
easy
to the tab.
Easy there.
Yeah.
Easy there.
He says, if I make it to Kelly's, can y'all put my double Blanton's neat on the tab? So
you better make it at 6:30 if you're putting a $50 pour on there. Yeah. I don't think it's that much, but
Barber, we'll see you there
$25
tonight. We'll see you there
pour.
Tonight. No, we'll all be out there, and we already do know of some people that are planning on coming. I got some friends too that listen to the show that I think are going to make their way out there. I know you do as well, Cody. So
I'm selling the wheel tonight. I'm excited.
Yeah, have you got that arranged with Austin? Have you followed up with him to make sure?
Arranged? I don't know, but we have agreed on the money.
Have you talked to him since?
Oh yeah.
Good. You're good then.
Yeah.
You're gonna walk into Kelly's at Westport with a racing wheel. Great.
Okay.
I still think you guys should meet in the parking lot.
I was gonna say I'm not planning on walking into Kelly's with the wheel. I'm gonna
please, actually.
I'm gonna give him a shout. Hey man, you know, let me know when you get here, and I'll meet you and give you the wheel.
Looking forward to it. Hope a couple of you were able to make it out tonight. Try to warn you for a couple of weeks, give you a little bit of time, but all three of us will be there. I don't know if anyone else. We've invited some other people from the station. Maybe somebody else will make it out as well. Mostly for the listeners. You know, if Rob comes, he can buy his own drink.
Oh, damn.
Jeez, come on.
What?
I'm not that cold.
That'd be messed up. Just have a separate tab for them.
Just be like, oh, no. Oh, Rob? No, he's on his own. Don't you worry about that.
That would be a little out of
pocket. We still need to come up with the, phrase that people have to say to access the tab, you know? We got to come up with something. Otherwise, if I'm at the bar and I hear that you got an $1,100 tab, I'm going to say, yeah, I'm on their tab. I'm on those guys' tab over there.
I like to think the sandwich board will deter them from doing it.
That's true. So what are you guys going to do if 300 people show up? Well, then the tab runs out when the tab runs out.
I don't have a contingency for that, except for everyone gets less drinks and we start buying our own and still have fun.
Yeah. Now, I'll be honest, as much as we would love that, I don't think we're gonna have to worry about 200 people are showing up, so let alone 300.
If they do,
great,
cool.
Grand Canyon tour guide is the password.
Jeez, it's a long password.
There's a million show references.
All right, up next we'll get to what's trending and talk more about what Cincinnati is willing to do with one of their star players.